Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Are you angry? No, really. Has that one person got you fuming? Well, call them out. Now's your chance to tell them.
You know what? You just made the list.
You just made the list.
Here we go.
Let us know who's on your list. Call 615-737-1025. You just made the list. Now, on Darren, Donick, and Chase.
All right, tell us who or what is on your list. $25 gift card to Scoreboard. Scoreboard Nashville, over in the Opryland area. Music Valley Drive. We got you talking about going to the throwback machine, the Wayback Machine. We spent a lot of time on the Scoreboard, as we've discussed, I think, last week on the show. So that's what's at stake for You Just Made the List. 737-1025, 615-737-1025. You can call in or text us and let us know who or what is on your list. By the way, we've got Papa John's Pizza gift cards for trivia in the final hour of the program.
Ooh,
how about that?
Yeah. Excited
Sign,
about that.
I mean, are we eligible? That would be...
I don't think we are.
Oh, no. I sure would like to be. That's good.
Real quick, because you've brought this up quite a bit, Darren, about NASCAR and news from them. They have actually released a statement. We do have an update. And unfortunately, it's not good. NASCAR is postponing the scheduled events on May 8th and 9th at the Martinsville Speedway. Our intention remains to run all 36 races with a potential return to racing without fans in attendance in May at a date and location to be determined. The health and safety of our competitors, employees, fans, and the communities in which we run continues to be our top priority. We will continue to consult with health experts and local, state, and federal officials as we assess future scheduling options. That
Once
coming
again,
out just a few minutes ago.
How many times have I said it? Just don't box yourself in. Well, there's no reason to say that. Your intention is to race the full schedule. It's silly. It's silly to say that, right? Just don't. Just say we're not coming back in early May. It's a little too soon.
Yeah, leave it wide open.
Figure some more things out.
I agree. Leave it wide open. I think they keep saying that they're going to run all 36 races because now they're going to test the theory that's been rumored for years of something that they want to do, and that's running midweek races and knocking out, you know, two race dates in one weekend, which they were going to try at Pocono. So I think that's probably why they keep saying that, because they're trying to figure out how they can logistically do that and when they can start, especially with tracks that have lights and all of that. But I agree. Leave it wide open, you know, or leave it open-ended, I should say. There's just no reason to say that.
There's just not. You're setting yourself up for failure. You're just setting yourself up to be scrutinized, and there's just no point in it. Just say we're not ready to come back in early May.
I saw somebody on Twitter put it this way, and it's the same thing. It was not in this context, but it was in another context where there have been intentions, right, by politicians, by leaders, by commissioners. He put it this way. He says, you can put out all the intentions you want. It's still my intention to marry Jennifer Love Hewitt, but it's not going to happen, right?
Right. So there's no point in saying that, right? It's just silly.
Right, exactly. That was his point. His intention is going to continue to be to marry Jennifer Love Hewitt, which I guess is his longtime celebrity crush, and he knows it's not going to happen.
Who said that? I want to get
I got to find it. It was. I started laughing out loud.
I need to know who said that. They deserve props for that. That's good.
What's the proverb? The road to hell is paved with good intentions. That's always one of my favorite.
Does anybody have one this week?
You just made the list?
I do.
Yeah.
Oh, I got one. I got a big one.
Okay.
Big one. Okay.
Well, do you want to build up to yours? Mine is more middle of the road. So
sure.
Chase is selling it, and then I'll do mine.
Okay. Mine's pretty simple. I've tried, you know, this week a couple times. We did take out in the Donick house, and we decided to go pick up our order. One of them was over on West End. So, you know, about a 10-15 minute drive. I got on the highway. And so the people on the list are the people, you know, this is the evening. It's not rush hour. There is no rush hour right now. But the people that are driving around, weaving through the lanes of traffic, flying up and down in sparse traffic, cutting people off. There was two or three people that passed me. And you know me, Darren, I'm not a slow driver by any means. But I'm thinking to myself, where are these people going? What's the hurry? There's nobody on the road. There's not a whole lot open. Is there really somewhere you have to be that fast? Like, is this an emergency? They were whipping up and down. But I was like, the maniac driver during this setting here, that doesn't make much sense here. So I'm putting those people on the list.
Okay.
Made the list!
I've noticed the same thing.
I don't know
thing.
If you've experienced that
no,
when
have,
you go for
I
drives.
I have, yeah.
Yeah, like, no, you're right. You're
what's
absolutely
the, what's
right.
What's the hurry?
I was
it's
on,
not like you're...
I was on 24.
Got so much to do.
Somebody passed me. I mean, they had to have been going 110. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, what? You're not late. What are you... What, where are you going that fast? Like, exactly. Like, our schedules. Look at our schedules. What could you possibly be needing to do and drive like that? That's... I mean, I saw them coming in my mirror. You know, I'm like, this person is hauling. You know, I'm the same way. I mean, I'm not afraid to push down the gas pedal. I'm getting on down the road,
you got
too,
some
but
power.
I'm doing it in a safe. Got some power when I'm driving, but I'm watching them like, man, this person is hauling coming up in the passing lane. And they zip by me, and I was like, man, they're going at least 110 miles per hour. Like, what in the world are you doing? Maybe it's just because they can. I don't know.
I think that's it, because people realize, hey, there's not as many cars on the road, not as many people out. So, you know, and there are no NASCAR races right now, so I'm going to create my own. It'll be Dale Earnhardt.
So are they iRacing? What are they doing?
I guess. I hope they're doing – hey, but by the way, because I told you guys in text that I have signed up for iRacing, so I've been doing that. I made it off pit road finally without spinning
out. Good
for
you.
So, you know, I've actually completed some laps without
baby
spinning
steps.
Out. Yeah. It was good. It was and I got in an Indy car too. That was a lot of fun.
I would actually like to do that.
Yeah, I think you'd have fun with it. Your son would love it. Maddox would love it.
I'm going to need to get some deets from you after the show.
Okay.
On how that works.
Yeah. Can do that.
So, yeah, Willie, I think a lot of people can relate to what you're saying. If you've been out at all, I think you can relate to that, for sure. We've all experienced
all right.
that. So whoever those people are, slow the frick down. Come on.
Whoa.
You just made the list.
Thank you. Thank you for catching yourself there.
Listen, Chase, what do you got?
I'm going to be honest on that, because
there was almost another letter in there that Darren threw in there. There was an extra letter in the freak.
I know. Well, I've caught myself a few times working from home, and you know, when you're in the home environment or you're not in a studio, your mind is the filter's off, so to speak. And I've had to catch myself a couple times of letting some things slip out. So I don't know if that's just because we're not in studio and it's more of a relaxed environment now or what, but I laughed at that because I've had to catch myself.
I knew what I was doing. Come on.
No,
give me a little bit of credit.
I believe
you. Hey, I haven't had to press the dump button once, so.
Really?
So far, no, not once.
You have not.
Yeah, we've been doing this for how long, and nothing's been dumped yet, so. Just so far, so good.
Yeah, that's, come on.
One day I'm just going to test you, Elijah. See if you're on it.
See how quick I am on the trigger.
I would not suggest that.
No, I know. I'm kidding. All right, so is it my turn?
Yes.
Is it time? Okay. The state of Florida is going on my list.
Mm.
You just made the list!
Yes, because I saw about an hour or so ago that it was coming out on Twitter that some beaches will be reopening tonight. Not tomorrow. Not in a couple days. Tonight.
Not May 1st.
Not May 1st. Beaches will open under limited hours starting Friday, 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. The beaches will then reopen in the mornings, 6 until 11. So, okay, limited hours, but this is what I'm talking about.
That Chase, that state deemed your sport, wrestling, essential.
I'm
so
very,
why are you surprised?
Very well aware of that. Very well aware of that. But this is the problem. This is what we were just talking about. That okay, yeah, we get good data and the curve's starting to flatten. All right, let's go. Let's everybody get back out there. Let's go. Let's get back out on the beaches, and we're going to be right back in this mess here in a couple months. So Florida, the beaches, you know, you people are going to be beaching, if you know what I mean, here in a few months, because we're going to be back at, you know, at home.
Is there supposed to, are they at least saying like you have to
right,
be
6 like you
feet
have
apart,
to be 10, right, exactly.
You know,
sure.
There's a limited amount of space.
Are they
we're
marking
not
spots?
In.
I'm sure they're going to have guidelines that nobody's going to listen to.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Well, judging by the spring break, there's no question.
Right.
If you open it up, there's going to be people that show up.
Right. Are they going to
have
be
a patrol?
Right.
Is the Baywatch patrol coming in to make sure everybody's social distancing?
Where's Pam Anderson when you need her?
Oh, I can only imagine where Pam. What is Pam Anderson been up to?
I don't know. There's so many jokes there. I'm just going to let them go.
That's what
I know. Tommy Lee doing.
The awkward silence of us going, do we tell that joke? Do we go there? Do we not?
No.
Probably not. Yeah, well, that's a good one. But I don't think anybody should be surprised. Florida and Arizona have been – they're the typical – you know, everybody's got the friend that is always late to the party. Like, they're late to the party.
Yeah. They're just like, we're cool, man. We're good.
Not sure if this is a party, but that's, you know, that's what I got. All right, now it's time for you to get involved. 615-737-1025, 737-1025. Calls and texts. Welcome next here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 1025, The Game. All right, want to know who's on your list? 615-737-1025. Call or text. Tell us who's made you mad. Let's go to Adam. Adam, get us started.
Hey, guys. So, all right, this is where I'm at right now, man. I got a beef. It's all these major media outlets, man, I can't take it. Like, I fully expect politicians to be shady all the time. I have no doubt. Every one of them has an agenda that doesn't suit me or my family, so I don't trust them. But I wish there was a place I could go to get just facts, not people's opinions, man. I'm so sick of it. Like, it's really a problem in my life right now. Like, my parents are hardcore Democrats. Of course, I voted for Trump. On the other side of it, I'll say it out loud. But even hearing how the news breaks down a Trump press conference, on both sides of it, it's just despicable, man. You would think people would eventually drop their dukes and come together on something so important, but they don't. Like, oh, my God, Trump bragged about his ratings. Like, I couldn't believe he bragged about his ratings. But then you got people arguing about both sides of him bragging about his ratings. Like, it's just so stupid, man. And that's the most frustrating thing. Like, you want to know where we are in the world and get factual information, and you can't get it. I can't trust anyone to tell me what's going on, because I feel like everybody has an agenda. So it just really sucks, man. So all the major people providing us news, I put them on the list for sure.
Okay. Adam, do you feel better?
You just made the list.
I hope so. He got that out.
I liked
you
it,
could
Adam.
Tell. He was ready to release that.
He was, and Adam brings it. You know, Adam's been one of those guys that when he calls in, he brings it. So I'm glad he was able to do that.
I would say, Adam, the best thing that I could throw out there to help you is be listening at the bottom of the hour. Our next guest, Dr. Peter Cobb, he's going to give you facts, okay? He's going to give you some facts.
Straight facts.
Willie will tell you Dr. Fauci is going to give you facts, right? I'm sure I was waiting, Willie, for you to jump in there and endorse your man.
Dr. Fauci is the man. He's the celebrity of 2020.
If you have watched him at all through all the madness, and there has been some circus type stuff going on there, he's the guy to me that is the shining light. You know, he blocks it all out from all sides. You know, he just keeps going, and he's consistent with his message. I mean, he is the man.
I tell you what, he may run for something when this is all done, and he'll probably win. You know? If Joe Exotic can run for governor, you don't think he can't run for at least governor somewhere?
He could, but he's also, I mean, he's kind of been in this role for a while, you know, with multiple presidents.
Yeah.
But obviously nothing to this extent has happened, so he's getting getting a lot of run.
Remember, in this go around, also just the climate, what we, you know, what we live in social media and channels and availability, and you know, he's getting more eyeballs on him than he's ever had before. I think that's pretty safe to say, right?
Yeah, and I think too, as a society, whenever there is some big event, and it can be a good event, bad event, somewhere in between, there we always tend to put the face of it on someone. Like, we find that one person that we're going to, okay, whenever this guy or girl speaks, we're going to listen to them because they've just kind of become the face of it. And I think Dr. Fauci is that person for all of this, at least in our country.
Yeah. So it's also the way it's not only his poise to be able to handle, let's just say, you know, he gets some wacky questions, let's be honest, depending on who's asking. And if sometimes it's a sports station I've seen him on, sometimes it's a news station, he's on all the different news stations, he gets some different questions from different angles, he handles them all flawlessly, and he speaks in such a clear tone. That's what, he doesn't ramble, right? He's got a real distinct voice and just comes at you, you know, clean, where I'm able to stay focused and learn things. Some of these people that are up there are really, really smart, and they know what they're doing, but they can't relay it as well to the press and to the public. They don't deliver it as well.
Sometimes it's about the delivery. We talk about that on and off the air a lot. Some people translate better than others, whether it's radio, television, what have you. Let's go to Nate. Nate, who or what is on your list?
Who is on my list today are the people who are actively going to the city halls or whatever to protest the stay-at-home order. How does city hall or whoever not call the police and tell these, you know, to tell them, go home, quit doing this? You're being the problem. You are going to have to stay home because you're going to get the virus if you do this. So you will not have an option at that point. Stay home so you don't have to stay home later.
You good just message, made the Nate. List.
Do you feel better?
Do what?
You feel better? That's a good message.
I do feel better.
Good. That was passion. I like it. Crispy would be proud. You brought the passion.
Brought
I
the
like
passion. Nate, thank you for bringing the passion.
Yeah. Let's go to our buddy Jeremy K. Gover, who is currently probably in between YouTube channel hits with him and his son, breaking down some really cool toys.
And don't forget the dog. You're posting pictures about the new pup.
Yeah. How about that? Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. It's a wonderful addition to the Gover family.
Permanent? Because I know you did foster.
We do foster. Yes, we do foster, but Loretta is a permanent member of the Gover family. Yes.
Love it. Right. Love it. And I love the name, too. You have a theme with names that
we do.
I like.
So, Jeremy, what could be on your list?
Well, it's great to hear from you guys and talk to you guys a little bit during this time. We'd usually be together a lot, but instead, unfortunately, we're not.
I miss
you. Which leads me to what is on my list.
Okay.
If I am standing at the pharmacy counter because I have to be at the pharmacy counter because of a prescription that I am picking up, and I have no choice but to leave my house for said prescription, you, as another fellow customer, should not be cutting corners of aisles and bump me in the shoulder on multiple occasions during this issue.
Yes.
Everyone has, whether you believe in all of this distancing or not, whether you think it's a hoax or some sort of farce or not,
have some
respect.
That's
not the point. The point is respect others, respect your fellow human beings, and give us space because we may have some anxiety about it.
Yeah.
And you are on my list.
You just made the list.
That's a good one, Gove.
That's good. That's good.
That's a good one.
Hey,
love you guys.
Hang on. Don't hang up.
Keep pumping up those videos.
Before Gover goes, I'm going to put coronavirus on the list, which is, you know, it's on a running list. But I'm doing it because it has robbed me of something that I have been looking forward to all season long with Jeremy K. Gover, because I had issued the challenge to him. For those of you that don't know, after games, the players usually eat, and there's kind of a buffet set up outside the locker room. I had dared Gover to just walk in line and fix a plate after his last game, and I'm sad that I'm not going to be able to witness that.
Yeah, for those who don't know, this is my last season, right? And so hopefully I'll get at least one more game out of this. But, yeah, so Chase, a couple months ago, challenged me that, oh, it's your last season. What are they going to do, fire you? Go get in line and get some food. So I accepted that challenge, and I was looking forward to it. But unfortunately, that may not happen.
Well, in all seriousness, you know, with us dealing with all this, either way, no matter how this plays out, you'll at least have a great story to tell the rest of your life.
You will.
No, that's true. That's true.
Your final year, you right? You will have the that's story right. to tell.
That's right.
One more match, Gover. One more match.
I hope so. I'll see you guys.
You and the family, be safe. Let your kid keep dancing, man. Gelmy gets after it.
He does. He's got moves.
He's way better dancer than me. He's 8. Way better. You got a text from Ron. What's he saying? Who's on his list?
Yeah, Ron says Ticketmaster made my list. Any company that provides tickets and our and services should be giving refunds. Is what he's saying. Apparently, they didn't give him a refund.
Okay. I'm surprised we haven't had more of that. Quite honestly,
I know.
We'll come back, Dr. Peter Cobb. He will dole out some truth on this show. We will talk to him next on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Friday afternoon. Hope everybody's having a great day to this point. Enjoying the weather. Go outside. Stick your head outside. Take a walk. If you are at home. Or heck, if you're even at the office. Dr. Peter Cobb. We talked to him basically when this first happened. When this first hit. So we got him on a family physician. TriStar Medical. Dr. Cobb, welcome to the show. We had a caller last segment that was on You Just Made the List that was angry at people just giving their opinions. He kind of wants some dragnet. He just wants the facts. He wants whoever we talk to be kind of like Daniel Caffey in A Few Good Men. You know, he wants the truth. So with that being said, can you give us some truth? Can you spew some truth on this show today?
I'm not so sure I can spew much truth, Darren. No, I'm going to try.
Okay.
But this is a moving target, as you know.
It is a moving target. How much has the target moved since the last time we caught up with you, which was, what, 3-4 weeks ago?
I think it's moved quite a bit in some respects and not much in others. It's really affected our practice. We've cut our office hours down, and staff probably working 30 hours a week, and we're not seeing nearly as many patients as we were before this all started. And then just new recommendations and things coming out of the CDC. And unfortunately, what hasn't changed is I'm not able to really make a difference in this currently due to lack of testing and availability of resources. So it's been a little frustrating from our end.
In your mind, is that the next big step is just to get more testing, or how would you answer that?
Well, I guess it depends on what your end game is. I think what we'll find is that a lot more people have had this than we thought, that it's way more widespread than we thought. Testing really won't change much in terms of outcomes, probably. Some may argue that, but testing may affect our social distancing and how we treat family members and the like. But I don't think testing is the be-all and end-all. It certainly would be nice, and it would certainly give comfort to people that would want to know, and we're dealing with a lot of anxiety and the fallout from that. So it's just one piece of many, but it would be nice. It's better than twiddling my thumbs here.
Well, that is true. And speaking of that, what about in the attempt to, as you know, you're a big golfer, your son plays golf collegiately, PGA announcing that their intentions are to come back in the middle of June. MLS has said the same thing. As we start to maybe put some wheels in motion down the road, let's say, and we'll just use middle of June as our target, is the testing thing that can help put more things, more wheels in motion by knowing, you know, people have the testing available, the data. And also, I guess the other layer is what we've talked about with you maybe the first go around, just trying to understand what this is, right? If you had it, or if you've had it, are you in the clear moving forward? You know, how all that works.
Well, there's a couple. I mean, you can test antibodies to see if you've had it. The problem is there's some concern that maybe there's a reactivation. You know, they've kind of had some spikes in some other countries, so we're not sure if this has a cyclical pattern in individual patients or if these are reinfections. So just because you test positive and then negative, some are testing positive again. That's concerning. And then besides the antibody test, there's the actual testing of the disease itself. And then you're making the assumption that just because you got tested, that the results are accurate, and we're not 100% sure that's true. So, once again, Darren is a moving target and frustrating because I understand everybody's desire to know and have answers, and they're really not out there.
Dr. Cobb, I want to ask you, first of all, I know you probably have a lot of colleagues that would have some amazing stories to tell and what they're going through. So we probably don't say it enough on our show. I know we're feeling it. We've said it many times before, but we want to continue to emphasize how much we admire all of the folks that are, you know, in there every day seeing this and going through this while we do our part in staying home. But what kind of feedback have you gotten from some of your colleagues that are seeing this up front? What have you learned?
Well, I think in general, the ones that are in the emergency rooms, they're just putting their head down and they're just fighting through and doing what they can to help. And so I think there's fatigue and exhaustion from their end. And then from those of us that are maybe a little outside the first line, of course, we can see patients here, and I've had several with it here. There's just a feeling of a little bit of frustration and inability to really help and give answers. And unfortunately, a lot of the time, the answers are just what everyone knows, which is just stay home, take care of yourself, and call us if things get worse. And so I think this is just what we do, and we just try and make decisions based on the information we have. And unfortunately, right now, it's a little bit limited.
When we have these discussions on our show and we read articles about potentially, let's take hockey, playing in front of no fans, basketball playing in front of no fans, baseball, etc., the different setups that they're talking about, what comes to mind for you? It's easy for us to kick it around, but you have much more of a trained eye. We heard what Dr. Fauci said. He said it might be plausible here in time, but what are your thoughts on it?
Well, I think if you took just purely the medical side, we're not ready to go back and do that kind of stuff. But that's not what life is, and there are gray areas. And so, obviously, the effects on the economy and the devastating effects on the economy, and those things have devastating effects on people and their health. Those have to be weighed, and so I'm glad I don't have to make that decision. I do think there are some sports that set themselves up better than others to return sooner. But once again, you're not going to get guarantees because there's flaws in the testing, and there's also concerns that these could reactivate. And we really just don't know what this virus does entirely yet. So it's hard to set up public policy and make decisions on time or because I'm not so sure things will change by those times.
Yeah, it's an interesting point. That was where I was going, I think, with my next question, too, is knowing what you do, do you feel like in another 6 weeks to 2 months that we might know a lot more in terms of testing and data that we're getting and being able to observe what's going on with the virus? How much more in the know do you think we'll be in 2 months?
Willie, I wish I could answer that. I will know more because we're learning stuff every day. And there's some drugs in the pipeline and that have some promise. But because we won't even know how this virus responds, say, in fall months or summer months. I mean, we just don't even have that kind of information. So it's going to be hard to make public policy decisions when we don't even know what the virus is going to do or how it's going to respond in the upcoming months. I think it's wishful thinking, and I understand why we're doing that, but I think we'll know more, but I don't know if you're going to have enough answers in just the next few months to be able to make informed decisions, and because, you know, you are taking... These are lives at stake, and it's hard to knowingly or unknowingly put people in danger. I don't know how you do it.
Dr. Peter Cobb is with us. The thing that's been fascinating to me and what I'm hoping we learn more about or are learning currently is, you know, obviously everybody's different. Everybody is built differently. You have people with different blood types. Their immune systems handle things in a different way of what we're going to learn of how certain people fight off the virus as opposed to others that get it and maybe don't fight off disease as well anyway. What can you say on that?
Are you asking how do we know how this affects different people?
Yeah, that's basically what I'm getting at.
Well, I can tell you just from what I've read and also personal standpoint from patients I've had here, I've seen the gamut there's suggestion that there are upwards of 20 to 50 times as many people that have it that don't know they've had it or have it as that have tested positive for the disease. So one is runs the gamut from not having any symptoms and to others that get sick and can pass away within 1 week of getting the disease. And I know the people listening to your show know most of this stuff, but as you get older and you have underlying comorbidities such as diabetes or heart disease, those do increase the risk of the disease. So it has such a wide variability in how it affects people, and what makes it so difficult to is that if you have people that have it but don't even have symptoms, how do you track that if you don't have widespread testing? And what if this virus reactivates? Then you've got a whole nother set of problems too. So once again, very frustrating. But it can go from being almost nothing to completely devastating. And as truth be told, I've had both of those here too. So. And I know the effects. So it's been difficult.
So in your medical opinion, when we get back to the sports conversation, like you were mentioning earlier, that even if you quarantine everybody in somewhere and then try and play these sports, yes, you could have some testing, but you still may not know that the left tackle for a football team that he has it and it just hasn't shown up in him yet and he could spread it to everybody else. Is that what you're saying?
That is exactly right, and like everything else, I heard, I think it was Dr. Cuomo in New York say that this will change us forever, and it will, and some of that will be good, but I think that this will affect public policy and how we interact with each other on a daily basis. I think those things are I think we're going to have some pattern some behavioral changes in how we go about things because of this. And so I think, Chase, what you said is accurate too, though, which is you know we always make decisions. And there are always risks involved in everything we inherently do, be it getting the car or travel or, you know, whatever. And the people that get paid to make these decisions are going to have to decide what the risks are and whether or not they're willing to accept them.
Yeah, that is a really good point. I know that. There's a bigger picture, but since we are a sports talk show, I did want to ask you. You're an avid sports fan. Your kids are in college. Like I said, your son is playing collegiately, playing golf. So you've got kids in college, and right now, with all this going on, they're at home. What do you think, and what are they saying? I mean, what do you think is going to be the plan for college athletics, for universities in the fall, and, you know, this upcoming year? How do you think they're going to try to tackle all this? Like you've said throughout this interview, there's so much uncertainty, and it's so hard to answer some of this stuff, but I would just be curious, what do you think, your opinion?
Well, number one, Darren, my son has been lifting water jugs in my backyard, and so he needs to come over to your house. Can you take him for a week or so? He's had enough of us, I think.
Would he be willing to help my son lift some water jugs?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes,
we can work something out.
He's willing. No, if you want my honest answer, I don't know how they're going to be able to logistically work this out in the college arena. Because first of all, you've got to get the kids back on campus, and then somehow provide an environment that's safe for the student athletes. I'm glad I don't have to make that decision. I'm glad I get just to take care of people, because that seems a lot easier than trying to put on a football game or a volleyball game. Or I don't see how they can do it. I don't even think that's taking too negative a view of it. I just don't know how you can safely start putting those sports back on, and even without students in the stands, how do you ensure that the student athletes are going to be safe? I don't know how you do that. I think it's different when you're paying athletes, but for collegians, I don't. Yeah. I don't know how they're going to do that.
Is your son concerned that, you know, I mean, it's, I don't know if you guys even talk about it or not. Maybe he doesn't even want to think about it, and you guys don't even want to talk about it. But, you know, there is a fallout if nothing can come back and things may go away. And a lot of sports basically none of the sports make any money other than football and college basketball and maybe some baseball programs, but most of them, they're in the red for programs. So is he concerned that, you know, that the fallout could be his sport disappears?
Well, I think his sport is in the fall and the spring. So, I mean, I think there would be a real concern on his part. You'd have to ask him. I think he's more concerned about having to spend another year with me. But I think that the biggest concern is, yeah, I mean, he could potentially lose another year. I do think we'll get back one day. So, I don't think, but I'm worried about the fall.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting. Well, we'll work out the water jugs and maybe some time away from you off air. Thanks for doing this as always, and we'll talk to you soon. And thanks for everything you do.
Hey, guys, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
All right, that is Dr. Peter Cobb, family physician, TriStar Medical, and he's seeing patients, and he is just said it. He's had patients dealing with this, what we're going through right now. We will come back. Actually, we got a few minutes. Anything jump out to you guys before we kick off the final hour with some trivia?
Well, I think it was great straight talk. You know, that's what I kept hearing from him is number one, he answered what he could, but he also cautioned everybody. And this goes back to our jokes about intentions, right? We can all have our goals, our intentions, but there's just a lot of answers that we don't know right now. And I think, at some point there will be risk involved. As much as we want to be able to say the whole thing is going to be gone, the reality is it's not going to be gone for a while. So how do we minimize the risk? What strides can be made? How much more knowledge can we gain over the next few months? And maybe even it might take another year, right? And there may be some things we don't want to have happen that happen, right? And in terms of college campuses and games that we want to see played that end up just not getting played, or kids that, want to get out there and play for their teams that, they just won't be able to be feasible for a while. These are really tough things that we're facing here.
And I want to be clear on my stances, just so people know. This is not a selfish take of here's sports guy who's just trying to do anything and everything and say anything and everything to try to get it back because he's bored. It has nothing to do with that at all.
Right.
And actually, I don't know if you guys – I haven't complained once about being bored. I haven't said that. This is not a selfish – I'm trying to think about all the people that it affects. And see, it's interesting you brought up the word because that was the key word I took from that interview. It's assessing the risk because everything is a risk, but at some point you have to figure out, I guess as they say, when the rubber meets the road, is the risk worth what? If you don't do it, then you know what the fallout is going to be, okay? It's this category over here. This is what it'll look like if we don't take a risk to a certain degree, right? And so if we do and we try to take the risk and do things the right way, we have a chance to keep this around or keep it. I don't want things to go away permanently. I don't want there to be this crater of a hole that we have to spend the next 5 years digging out of. That is simply the only reason that I bring up some of this stuff is because I'm just trying to think for everybody. I'm not thinking for myself I don't care. I just want to get sports back on TV. I got to watch this stuff. I got to cover this stuff. It's not about that at all.
Yeah, it's.
And I'm not saying I want to watch Netflix for the next 6 months. But I haven't complained at all about the situation that we're in. In fact, I've actually had some good come out of this. Some of this stuff has been refreshing on my end. But I'm just trying to think of all the people's lives out there. This is already affected.
It's economics.
And will continue to affect if we don't come up with some plans. And if we don't, in that interview, assess the risk of, trying to do some things, understanding that there's risk involved and hoping that it works.
Right. Well, that's why I said what I said earlier, that if you evaluate certain businesses, because I look at this strictly from a financial standpoint, economics, that, the economy has to get going again. We have to reopen the country, as people have been putting it. But that doesn't mean that you can't have some people still work from home. Because if their business, like we're doing a radio show from our houses and it's working, so who's to say that they reopen some businesses and you have restaurants, but it's limited. But our bosses come to us and say, hey, we're going to keep you guys at home just to play it safe for a little while. Okay. There are other businesses that can do that, too. I think it can be a stair-step program, gradually opening things back up. And to your point, taking a little bit of a risk to see what happens to get everything going again. But you don't have to do it all at once. I think so many times people look at a situation where, okay, we just got to go one hail swoop and just jump right in and get everything going right at one time. You don't have to do it that way.
Yeah. There can absolutely be baby steps, right?
Baby steps are, hey, slow and steady, baby. That wins the race.
What's the term a lot of the medical officials are using? We've hit the, hopefully, in most places, we've hit the down slope Is that what they're saying? You know, the curve, you know, we've, you know, at some places they've hit the peak or at least close or plateauing as this is happening. We're flattening the curve, but they say it's so critically important that as we go down to the backside, as the, we curve down, that we don't let it spike back up again, right? That's the goal.
Yeah, and the other part is to, going back to what I initially said, I think for now, I think it's been, you know, we're still pretty early on in this for the most part. I mean, if, look, if you can't stay on the up and up and try to think positive, but I do know that it's only natural. The longer this goes, it is just going to take its toll on people, right? And so I worry about that too, and may take its toll on me. You know, I mean, I think we're all going to be facing that at some point. It's like, okay, you know, like we're all going a little nutso here. Like, what? And so I do worry about that. If it just, you know, depending on the time frame, like how long can you keep everybody thinking the right way, trying to stay upbeat, trying to be positive, trying to take good from things before everybody just starts getting mad and angry and bored and depressed, right? Yeah. And so,
or desperate,
that's the other
right?
Part.
I mean, if
or
you're,
desperate, exactly.
Like I've heard a lot of you know, feedback from small businesses that they're watching the days go by and they're saying, I can only hang on until this date.
There's,
you know,
I have friends
date.
In that boat.
Exactly.
I talk to them. Yes.
And you feel for them, and it's like they'd be ready to do anything almost, right? They'd be willing to take a lot more risk than some of us who maybe have a little more time along those lines. That's a tough thing.
No question about it. So just wanted to shed some light on that. We do appreciate Dr. Peter Cobb for joining us this hour. We will come back and do what we've been doing last several Fridays on this show, and that's provide a little trivia. We've got some good prizes, and we would like for you to weigh in. 615-737-1025. We will reveal the categories when we come back to start the fourth and final hour of Darren Donick and Chase. That's next.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.